FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and it is March 19th, 2020. Well, we've seen a lot of volatility, to say the least. One person's disaster is another person's opportunity. Where do you sit on this? What do you think is going to happen to the market? What about gold and silver? Well, all of that interesting. Just send us your thoughts, kl at kerrylutz.com, kl at kerrylutz.com. That's the email address. Got our good friend Christopher Mullen with us today. Chris is the expert, consummate trader. You've been doing this since you are 16, if memory serves me correct.
Yeah, that's right,
Chris?
Yeah.
And we're in a crazy kind of situation here. They're printing money like there's no tomorrow. And at this rate, there might not be a tomorrow. Coronavirus is become a full-fledged pandemic and a panic. And what is your take on the market here?
Yeah, I mean, this is pretty extraordinary times. And I think a lot of people are really getting beat up with the price action that's going on. They're getting really panicky about the price action being sold off and their, you know, long-term investing accounts pulling back so far. And of course, the unknown of what the heck is going on with this virus? How bad is it? How bad is it going to get? And what is it causing to not just the U.S. economy, but I mean, the whole world is shutting down. And we haven't really got a grasp on how bad that's going to be for, you know, the quarterly earnings and for small mom and pop shops. I mean, it's a huge part of America, small entrepreneurs and everyone. All the restaurants are closing down and services. Yeah. I mean, everyone's being affected, and even right down to the young teenagers, because they're losing their waitressing jobs and their ski resort jobs. I mean, all those ski resorts and activities have been canceled, right? So this is trickling down to be not just businesses, big corporations having a bad quarter. This is every family is dipping into their life savings. They can't make any money. And everybody is living paycheck to paycheck, or majority of people. And this is really bad, because if this lasts more than, you know, a couple of weeks, people are going to be going in the hole. They just don't have the funding. And this is, you know, a very serious problem financially for everyone.
Oh, for sure. And really, there's no, I guess, relief on the horizon. The only relief is if it does, in fact, turn out to be seasonal, which I'm of the opinion it will be, for the simple reason that there was a study done in China talking about temperature effect. And for every 1 degree centigrade, it went up. The R naught went down 0.35. And for every percent that the humidity went up, the R naught went down around a 0.25. And the other thing is, you see, it's a huge outbreak in New York, in Washington State, but in Florida, it hasn't spread as much. And some of that is due to the lack of testing, but testing is pretty much well available now. And you know, we just don't know yet, though, is the point. Can't say for sure, but it's likely, more likely than not. Florida had 200 plus cases, and New York had 1,300 cases. And they're both hubs. They're both major ports for international travel and shipping and vacation spots, tourism. So, yeah, Florida had 211. New York has 1,374. And this is, I'm using the New York Times map, which isn't up to date, but it was as of March 18th at 10 a.m. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to place a bet, though, on a virus, isn't it?
It is. I mean, I would like to think that this is going to blow over in 3 or 4 weeks. And I mean, I feel as though that curve is going to be flattening. There's been such extreme measures taken, which I think are great. I mean, we go even more extreme. The more extreme we go, the the better it is. And the more extreme we can do it, like the quicker we can do this, the better. We can nip it in the butt before it gets really out of control. Right. And yeah, the warmth is coming, and hopefully all that stuff kind of comes into play. And 3-4 weeks from now, things are fizzling down. I think the economy or people will bounce back fairly quickly. It's amazing how resilient people are and businesses are. And, this time of chaos creates a lot of opportunity in terms of investing, in terms of new businesses, new products coming out. People get very creative when they get backed into a corner of what they can do or what needs to be done. And it's very powerful. So overall, you look at the markets, it's selling off. We were seeing fear levels the same we saw back in the 2008 crisis.
Yeah.
And I did an article about a week and a half ago, maybe 2 weeks ago now, talking about what happens to gold and bonds when volatility goes through the roof and there's actual real fear in the overall economy. And going back in time, if you go back actually the last 5 times we've seen this level of fear, we actually saw gold sell off very substantially. We saw bonds sell off substantially. And most people, I mean, everyone was surprised with this huge, this 15% correction in bonds and gold. Mm. And the reality is before gold topped, actually the day before gold put in that top, I posted this report and you actually posted, I think on your site, talking about gold should pull back and so should bonds. And you shouldn't be alarmed because this is normal price action. There's going to be forced liquidation. There's going to be margin calls. People are going to start to panic and just sell naturally. And then this pandemic has spread so big. Now we're starting to see, I think, countries liquidate some of their gold reserves. And that's created some extra downward pressure on the gold market specifically, and even bonds, liquidating anything they can get cash for to help support their economy, their financial system. So this is perfectly normal, the pullback in gold and bonds and miners. I mean, a little extreme in miners and silver, but that's because we're at extreme times. But this is an opportunity. Going forward, I think we're going to see much higher prices, but I still think gold and bonds are going to be out of favor for several more weeks. And I think we're going to see a bottom in the equities market start this week or next week. And we're going to see a really substantial rally in equities. And that money's going to flow, more of it, out of the safe havens and go into equities. So that's the reason why we're going to be under pressure, I think, in those safe havens for a little while. So there's nothing, I mean, obviously these are huge extreme moves, but the money is moving just like it has in the past. It's just people get really fearful, and there's always a new event that creates a bear market or this type of selling that makes it feel new and different. But if you look at the charts, when there's this type of panic, the last 5 times, gold and bonds and silver and miners all did the same thing. They all corrected substantially. I mean, this is normal technical price action. It's just because you're scared, it feels new.
Yeah, well, you know, the average person doesn't really look at history, doesn't really think about these things. All they care about is how do I get rid of the pain now? But what about the Fed's massive money printing operations? They're going to send every man, woman, and child in the United States, or at least every household, $1,000, and bailing out airlines, cruise ships, the MTA in New York. All of these bailouts, they're bailing everyone out. This is truly the bailout economy. What does that do to the monetary unit? And what does that do to the safe havens, precious metals, et cetera, commodities?
Yeah, it drives me nuts that, I mean, I'm a person who follows the rules. I'm very logical. I mean, I can't stand it when people cheat and when they can't, you know, follow budgets. And here in the U.S., everyone's doing it. It's not just the U.S., but I can't stand it when people get away with murder, more or less. They drop the rates to zero. Now they can borrow trillions of dollars at no cost to them. They get to print all they need, dump it into the system, save everyone. Like, here's a new, you know, it's game over for everyone, but they're giving out free lives. Everybody's coming back to life. I mean, they got it to save the economy. But I mean, yeah, everyone's just flooding the market with money. All the countries seem to be dumping money in. And it's going to kill. I mean, right now the dollar is on a tear to the upside, but it's not good to, you know, put more money into circulation. It should send gold through the roof. Bonds should rally as well. No interest rates. I mean, the bond prices should continue to move up in due time. So, you kind of put a Band-Aid over one hole to stop it, but there's another one leaking. I mean, eventually the music's probably going to come to an end. And, you know, all this money, these trillions are dumping into the system. You know, it could work out exceptionally well that they dump in trillions now, the stock market, the economy recovers, they start to cash out of those plays when they make two or three times that. So they make trillions in profits 5, 10, 15 years down the road, and boom, they, you know, everything comes out of debt. And it could be, this could be the perfect storm for them to leverage up on the economy. When it rebounds, the U.S. comes back, and, you know, they come with this somewhat of a clean slate. So who knows how it's going to shake out. But yeah, all this printing, it should send metals and miners, I think, through the roof once this original wave of panic selling starts to fizzle out.
Yeah. So what happens in these initial panics is there's a mass liquidation. And as they say, the cliche, they throw the baby out with the bathwater, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, a lot of people don't have a choice, right? I mean, brokers are... Accounts are hitting certain thresholds, because here's the problem is people always get over positioned. They take too large of position sizes. And most people naturally, when they go to their brokerage account, they're going to get like a 25, 35, 50% or even 400% margin on their trading account. And so they just load up because their account says, oh, you still have this much money left you can invest. So people are like invested two or three times more than they should be. So when prices start to fall, brokers are forced to start selling positions. And they don't care which ones they sell. Their system just starts liquidating. Yeah. That's when all your good trades, you wake up in the morning, all your good trades could be sold, and you're still holding the ones you didn't want, all because your broker had to liquidate to meet, you know, margin requirements. So that's what's going on right now, is people are just getting shaken out of the market. In the wrong assets at the worst possible time, but that's the way the markets work. They really hurt people who don't have rules and systems in place to control risk like this.
Yeah. And of course, what we're seeing here, it's happened before, we know it, but on this scale and due to the at least being set off by the coronavirus. You can't say that it was the coronavirus's fault that all this happened. It was probably going to happen anyway, right? We were getting a bit oversold, and eventually all bull markets end with a bust.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
Arcana Corporation is on the verge of bringing the world's highest grade silver mine into production. The Revenue Virginius mine in Colorado has proven improbable silver reserves grading nearly 37 ounces per ton silver, with an all-in sustaining production cost of only $8 per ounce of silver. The mine is fully permitted with infrastructure already in place, and the company has announced they plan to commence production in 2020. Achieving successful production usually results in a significant upward share price re-rating on the Lassonde curve. Arcana trades under the ticker AUN in Toronto and AUNFF in New York. To learn more, go to arcana.com. That's AURCANA.com.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Totally. I mean, we saw this last big rally from more or less September last year. And 2 days before the market crashed, we had moved out of the S&P 500, out of equities totally. And we were already into gold miners. We were into bonds. And we completely nailed this last move. We avoided this equities crash. We got out of gold miners. We closed the day that it topped right at the high, because that was where the chart was saying, here's major resistance, take profit, take some profit off here, move your stop way up underneath it, because if it gets rejected here, it's going to sell off. We got a 20%+ move in bonds, which skyrocketed while the stock market had its first drop, a 4 or 5 day drop there. And we've been in cash ever since. And now the market has got so much volatility. It's up 5 to 25% a day, up and down, depending on the sector, like gold miners. Down 25% one day, up 21% the next day. I mean, it's day traders heaven, but right now as a swing trader, it's deadly. Right now we are in cash, we profited from the drop, and now we're letting things stabilize. The key here is to avoid the markets. Cash is king. Wait till the volatility settles and there's some tradable price action other than day trading, Because right now you're throwing a dart. You're going to throw a dart at something. You're going to hope and pray tomorrow's big move is in your favor. Because if not, you're losing 5 to 20% in a day. And I don't trade that way. It's about preserving capital, only trading when the trading is good. And right now the trading is not good for a swing trader, but we're getting close. I think a week or two from now, we're going to have some incredible swing trade setups, huge money to be made. And that's what I'm excited for. And I'm just waiting for them. I'm not playing with fire at this point with anyone's mind.
Speaking of playing with fire, one stock that was extremely hard hit. And as I speak, is being pummeled yet again, is Tesla. It was up to nearly 1,000. It double topped, which I guess was the sign that once it didn't make another new high, get the heck out. You're got a falling knife. $381. That is a huge loser. And the high flyers like Tesla, where it goes parabolic, those are the ones that really got hurt badly.
Yeah, well, typically the stocks that rally the most near the end are the ones that also have the biggest sell-offs. That's the way it works. If you're in a high momentum stock that's moving mountains, it's making mountains on the chart and just skyrocketing, when the market reverses, they're also the ones that crater and fall the most. So if you're playing with high beta stocks, fast movers like that, you've got to be diligent with moving your trailing stop up to and taking partial profits, because eventually every trade turns into a loser if you don't take profits and you don't move your stop up. And that's the problem. People fall in love with Apple. They fall in love with Tesla, and they'll hold it until it's losing money. And then they wonder what to do. And then everybody's really angry at themselves because they're like, wow,
I should have, could have, would have.
$300,000 in profits in Tesla. And now I am up about $400. And now I don't know whether to get out.
Yeah.
And they get angry at themselves. And that's one thing that I really focus on. I actually have a couple crash courses on managing positions, position sizing, and sticking to your trading plan. You have to plan your trade, and then you've got to trade that plan. And as much as you love it, man, the flack that I took for selling GDX at the high that day from subscribers was unbelievable, because a lot of my followers love golden miners and they're going to hold them till they shoot to the moon. And I'm like, this is the point. We have to get out. And the flack I took, and now it's down almost 50% from where we sold it in only 2 weeks. And now everybody's like, you know, I wish I listened, and I'm falling in love with these trades. And that's why you need rules. You fall in love with winners, but you got to have somebody there or a system saying, hey, time to cut that winner, because you know you got to find a fresh new trade, move some money out of that, because things don't go up forever.
It's so great, because exactly what you're talking about, every trade eventually will turn into a loser. And that's what you always have to remember. My friend, my closest, dearest friend, he had bought Tesla at 300. It was at 650. I said, what are you doing? You know, get rid of it. It's going to go higher. I said, well, sell half of it, so at least you got a free ride. And he did sell half of it. He actually listened to me. It went up to 968 or whatever, and now it's back down below 400. So he's thinking, hey, maybe he does know something, because he's trading on the house's money now. Should have gotten rid of it all, because it was parabolic and you knew what was going to happen. You knew it had to crash. Absolutely knew. The only thing that made me say it might not crash is that perhaps the market was going to go a bit higher from there, and Tesla would be the beneficiary. But eventually you knew, stock that goes up like that got a crash. There's a real lesson in that, isn't there?
There is. When you just look at the chart, just zoom out like 2 years, 3 years, and look at that chart. It's from 200 to 1,000 in a very short window. It's called a parabolic spike. What goes straight up usually comes straight back down, at least for half of it at minimum. And that's where I see comfort in the stock market right now. It has gone straight down. And what goes straight down is usually news-based, emotional-driven. And usually once that wave of emotions starts to fizzle out, price rips back in the opposite direction faster than you can shake a stick. And I think that's what's going to happen with the equities market. We're going to see a snapback, huge short covering. I mean, the strongest rallies almost always happen in bear markets. We're in bear market territory. We're down that 30%, you know, Russell 2000, I think 40%. And we're going to have a snapback rally that's going to just, you know, anyone who's short is going to be forced to cover, and it just feeds this fire to the upside, and the markets are going to rally, and that's going to send the safe havens a bit lower because everybody's going to start moving back into equities and say, well, I guess the gold didn't do what we expected, and they'll pull out of gold and the miners and move into equities. So I think there's going to be a nice play in equities for a bounce. I think 3-4 months from now, we'll be looking to go bearish on the market and play the next leg down in equities, because I think we've entered a bear market. Yeah. We just need a bear market bounce, a rally here first to last a few months.
A dead cat, or will there be so much money thrown into the system, puked into the system, if you will, that it could actually reverse the course of the market? Is that possible, Chris?
I think anything is possible when people can print unlimited amounts of money and have computer systems that can rip the market to the upside or the downside on demand. Who knows? I mean, I follow price action. Typically, the charts are really accurate in telling us what to do. What's going on right now to me is we're going to see a really strong rebound. Tons of money's coming in. And I think the quantitative easing, I think the tides have turned. I think quantitative easing is going to fluff up the markets for three, four, maybe 6 months. But I think it'll fizzle out. And I think the bias is now to the downside. So I think selling will come back into play. Because here's the thing, if the markets rally back up near the highs even, the companies are making way less this year than they were supposed to. So the PE ratio now is way, way out of whack versus just way out of whack. And so the new numbers, when it goes back up, makes even more sense that the market should sell off. So I like this idea. Money's going to pump in, fluff the stocks back up. Everybody can finally get out of their long-term positions, the long-term investing positions, and then you can get positioned to go to cash, or you can get on the inverse ETFs or short equities and play the next move down, because I think there's going to be a reevaluation in PE ratios after this.
Has to be.
And of course, it's going to be much lower prices. So, I mean, I think the stock market could drop another 20% easy from the lows that we're at right now. I just hope we see the markets rally 15 or 20% from here before they start that new journey down, because that'll give us, you know, like a 40% downside potential going forward.
Right, right. Yeah, I see your point there. Makes total sense. Hey, you are the gold and oil guy. So oil, I mean, man, pure decimation. I know, like, Charles Nenner has said he's even got a $5 target on the downside. Not saying it's going to happen, but possibly $5 a barrel. I mean, we see, like, in certain places it's down to $1 a gallon. In, you know, it's mind-boggling here.
It is. Well, crude oil's actually had really nice price action the last couple months. And I mean, back when it was at 64 on that on the big threats and the bombings and all that stuff, I put out a forecast saying, hey, this is a double top from earlier, more or less April or so, from 2019. Based on the highs that we saw in 2018, the downside target is $32 a barrel. I pointed this out when we were hitting those multi-month highs at $64 a barrel. And I wrote an article, and it's on my site, and saying 32 is where the chart is saying long-term where we're headed. And we just traded in the $32 range for the last 7 trading sessions. And I did some recalibration shorter-term targets a couple of days ago, and I said 17 is the next downside target. Today, you know, crude is down another 15%. It's in free fall mode. And to me, the next stop is $17 a barrel. So, I mean, $5 is getting to be a stretch. But, you know, after this move down, and depending how it consolidates, I mean, it could be down in that $5 or $8 level. That's a real extreme. I mean, 17 is an extreme as well, but I don't see $5 on the chart just yet. But $17 is definitely a day or two away from the looks of it, and that's what the chart is gunning for, I think.
Wow. That's pretty remarkable. We will see prices going back to the 70s and 80s for gasoline. Yeah, it's just hard to believe, but we've seen other things stranger than that, haven't we?
We have. I mean, there's going to be some probably really interesting plays out of this. Just think of, like, FedEx and transport companies, because if fuel costs have just been lopped in half, that means fuel costs is one of their biggest costs. They're going to have really great profits, and everyone now is going to be nervous to go out shopping. They're going to order everything, which means there's going to be more transit, more shipping. I mean, FedEx, UPS, all those companies, I think, could be a really great play because their costs are going to drop dramatically. Their business is going to skyrocket. I mean, there's going to be all kinds of plays coming out of here. There's so much going on. I haven't sat back to really digest where all the opportunities are and where to play them. Right now, we're still in panic mode and things are shaking out. But, I mean, like I said, we're a couple of weeks away, maybe not even that far away from some new, really exciting trade setups.
Yep, agreed. All right. And then we've seen the dollar. Everybody is piling into it again. But initially, during the panic, it took a major hit. But now it's over 100. It's 101, and we never thought we were going to see these numbers again. So is that again perceived safe haven buying?
It is. The dollar's been safe haven for a long time. Other currencies just keep plummeting, and money keeps moving over to this safe haven. And this is one of the reasons why precious metals are under some serious, selling pressure, is the dollar has just rocketed higher, like just a massive run. And that obviously puts a lot of downward bias on gold itself. So there'll be a time when gold should roll over, but I mean, it's still seen as the safe haven play. And that's really kept precious metals and miners, I think, kept the lid on them for such a long time. It's this never-ending trend higher in the dollar. But eventually things roll over. Things will kind of revert to the norm, where the dollar will fall and we'll see gold and miners and silver really break out. But at this point, I mean, the safe haven is cash. And that's what we've been in for a few weeks. And not only that, but cash is going up in value right now. I mean, it really is the trade. And a lot of people want to just trade because there's huge price swings. But the reality is, I mean, it depends on your mindset. I can't speak for everyone, but trading right now is gambling. Cash is king, and cash value is going up right now while everything else is going down. So I don't know how you can argue with that, but I know people just want to trade because they think they have to trade to make money, but you don't. Sometimes cash is king, and sometimes no trades is the way to really keep or
absolutely
make money.
Absolutely. You don't have to bet on every game every Sunday. In fact, that's a surefire prescription to lose money, even more money, in sports betting. And, we've seen this like many, many times here. There's nothing new here. It's just a different set of circumstances leading us to where we are now. But looking ahead, you think the dollar treasury debt, I mean, right now it's booming, but when the market comes to its senses, assuming that it does, if it ever does, what do you think is going to happen then?
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
Trilogy Metals is a world-class developer in Alaska's Ambler Mining District. The company already possesses 8 billion pounds of copper, 3 billion pounds of zinc, over 1 million gold equivalent ounces, and now over 77 million pounds of cobalt. Trilogy's Arctic project boasts an after-tax net present value of $1.4 billion with a 33% IRR. Trilogy's led by an experienced management team with proven success in discovering and developing projects in Alaska. The company is well capitalized, has no debt, and possesses strong institutional support. Trilogy trades on the New York and Toronto exchanges under the ticker symbol TMQ. To learn more, go to TrilogyMetals.com. That's TrilogyMetals.com.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
I think eventually the U.S. dollar is going to roll over and start to sell off in a big way. I think precious metals will take off and rally. I'm still a firm believer this financial system is broken. I mean, there's going to be some revert back to a physical asset, I think, and gold and silver will pick up the slack while the dollar value is falling. I think that's just what's going to happen. Right now, the trend is higher in the dollar, and everything else is in limbo. And right now, it's just emotions. If everyone could just step back from everything going on and just say, hey, just let the dust settle. Don't panic right now. As much as it's hard not to, but this is an emotional time. and prices are going ballistic. And when they go ballistic, they usually come back in the opposite direction almost as quick. And really, we just need to let the dust settle and then recalibrate. Because you can't trade when things are like this. You can't make smart decisions when you're emotional. And, you know, you just have to just kind of bear with it at this point. I mean, obviously, if you can't take the loss, you need to close out your positions and regroup and wait till the market stabilizes and get repositioned with a level head in 3 or 6 months from now when things should be running smooth again. But going forward, I mean, I think we've entered a bear market. I think markets are going to rally for a few months with all this quantitative easing getting pumped into the markets. But I still think the game is over. I think we're entering bear market territory that new strategies need to be deployed during a bear market. You can't trade the same as what you have been the last 8, 10 years, 12 years. There's a whole new game plan for trading in a bear market, and people are going to figure that out real quick when they seem to keep losing as the market falls, because it's not nearly as simple as it sounds. And I've been through two of them, and it is a real art, and you do fight with emotions with yourself all the time, fighting in a bear market or trading it. So it's going to be an eye-opener for a lot of people.
For sure. And when you look, basically all you had to do the past few years was just buy FANG stocks, and everything worked. Mm-hmm. It just went up and up. You needed 5 stocks in your portfolio. We all know what they are, but now things get dicey. And one other question, because I know you're acutely aware of this and you've been profiting from it to some extent, is the trend towards passive investing, is that over?
When you say passive investing, you're talking
ETFs about, and just right.
I think ETFs are taking off. I mean, they just keep growing in popularity. Even all the hedge funds, I mean, a lot of funds now don't even really trade stocks. They go straight into ETFs, right? I think it's, to me, passive investing is more so getting into some type of system that'll trade for you automatically, that it will adjust with the market. The stock trading side of things, I mean, I've never been huge into individual stock trading, just because I would much rather trade 2 or 3 positions with my entire portfolio in an ETF that moves much slower but is very predictable, than to go into a whole bunch of individual stocks. And you're juggling all these things, moving on news and random events, and they're much more volatile and uncertain. So the passive investing, to me, ETF strategy is by far the best. I'm not out there. I'm not looking to do a lot of trades. I want to make 2 to 4% on my entire portfolio every month on average, which is your 24 to 48% return a year. And believe it or not, a lot of people are not happy when you say, I want to make 2 or 4% a month. They want to make like 12 or 15. And if you think about it, no one makes 100, 150% return every year like clockwork. To etch out 2% a month on your entire portfolio, That's extraordinary. It requires a lot of, you got to have big positions. Yeah, I do it in big, broad ETFs, whether it's the SP 500, SPY, or TLT, or a GLD. I do very conservative, so you can put lots of money in, and we only have 1 or 2 positions on at any given time. And we ride those trends. We get in, we get out, and we're only looking at a couple trades a month of tops. And that's the best way to do it. You know, I've been trading for 26 years or so, and it's by far the easiest, the less stressful. You know, the biggest drawdown on the entire portfolio, I think, was 6.5%. We dodged this whole, I wouldn't say we dodged this whole market collapse. We properly avoided it with risk management and having positions in place. And that's what I specialize in, is inching our way to wealth. We don't go for, we don't jump and leap. And when you trip, you get hurt. We just inch our way to wealth.
Yeah, which makes total sense. Anyways, we got to run now. So just tell us where to find you again and what you'll do for people.
Sure. Yeah. You can find my my newsletter at thetechnicaltraders.com. And every morning I do a video analysis before the market opens. It's usually anywhere from 8 to 15 minutes. And I recap everything you and I just talked about, but I show you the charts, I draw on them, and I fly through them really quick. So during your morning coffee, you can literally be primed and ready for knowing what happened yesterday, what happened in overnight and pre-market, and what we should expect today. And if we have any positions, how it may affect it. Do we move our stop up? Do we hit a target? Whatever. And that's just what I do. All the subscribers, the amount of testimonials pouring through, everybody's like, I can't believe how calm you've made me through this time. I totally understand what's going on. We've avoided all this, and our accounts are just sitting at new highs for the year, all-time new highs, yet everyone just took a 30% beating in the market. So if you want to understand what's going on in the market and, you know, avoid huge volatility, price swings in your account, I mean, that's what I focus on, is ETF trading that makes sense.
All right. Excellent. Questions, comments for Chris, myself. What are you thinking about this coronavirus-induced bear market? Just email us, kl@carrylutz.com. Twitter feed @CarrieLutz. Facebook page is Financial Survival Network. And don't forget our home site, financialsurvivalnetwork.com, where you'll see all nearly 7,000 of my radio shows, podcasts, whatever you want to call them. And you can listen to any of them and trace us back, see how right or wrong we were and what would have happened. Anyway, Chris, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for coming on. And I'm sure we'll be talking to you in the coming weeks ahead.
Sure. Thanks, Carrie. Always a pleasure.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.